Hi, I'm Lisette Rodriguez.
And I'm Jeremiah Rodriguez.
And this is
Speaking Live Podcast, where we're inspiring hearts
and transforming minds.
So today I want to discuss, and I want to get your opinion, why do you think people would rather take this faith walk on their own versus joining a church and being part of a community? That's a good question, right?
Yeah, that is.
I'm just kidding.
Well, sometimes I feel like one of the greatest reasons is accountability. When you take this faith walk on your own, you have nobody holding you accountable. So if you're doing wrong, or even if you're doing right, there's nobody there to correct you, but there's nobody there to cheer you on. So I think the lack of accountability, knowing that you're not in my business. So if I wake up today, technically, just wanted to do whatever, it's okay. And tomorrow, if I wake up in a better headspace and I want to switch it up, it's okay. Because you're not watching me. You're not holding me accountable. Who's going to come for me?
Then I gotta have the question of like, all right, cool. That's true. Then is it a real relationship with God then at that point?
They probably believe. I've had a lot of conversations one-on-one with people. And they truly believe that because they read their Bible and because they say a 5-minute prayer, them and God are like this. That is what they truly believe, because they think that that's all it takes, but they never really go in depth to have a relationship. You know what I mean? So I could read any book for 5 minutes a day. That doesn't mean I have a relationship with that author.
No, that's facts.
That's true. I could speak to Steph about the book every day for 5 minutes. What is that really saying? That doesn't mean that we're intimate on this level that, you know, we don't need anything else because this is legit it. You know what I mean? I think it's just another excuse because, I mean, whether, you know, the Bible, like we know it, right, is the bread of life. But are you reading it to read it to say you read it? Or are you reading it to understand it so that it can minister to you?
That's a good question. I don't think many people will like have an answer to that question, to be honest.
See, because watch, your wife can write you a love letter.
Better be one great love letter.
You,
I'm deserving of that.
Amen,
bro. Amen. Amen. That's Bible.
You would read that with a different mindset than if David picked up the same letter written by her and read it.
That's a good point. You're reading
the same letter. But both of you have a different mindset in the intention of even reading it. You're reading it because, wow, I want to know her heart. I want to know where she's at. He's reading it from the perspective of, oh, let me see what she's thinking. But you both read the letter. It doesn't mean that both of you are in the same place because you read that same letter.
The facts. I would definitely get a different perspective from that. If like I'm reading it, obviously. So what would you say to that individual who's like, nah, I'm good. Like, I don't need to come to church. Actually, I've been quote unquote church hurt. Like, I don't need the community. It shows me that the community, what God preaches in the gospel is not really reflected in what the church has portrayed.
Well, one thing that I would say going back to, you know, the first topic at hand, I think that when you read the word and you have a one-on-one relationship with God, I feel like you can be intimate with God. You can grow. I just think that you quickly will find yourself at a place where you reach a ceiling, and you reach a ceiling to your growth. And it's like you're not going to be able to break through that ceiling, that glass ceiling, until you find a house of worship to be able to then, you know, the iron sharpened iron, grow in that type of aspect. Because one of the biggest things we know about God is that God is love, right?
Yeah.
And love is sacrificial. But God is also the triune God, right? So there's community at the beginning. I feel like you can't fully show that level of love if it's just you by yourself. You know, you need other people to be able to, you know, like Pastor Liz said, you know, you need people to be able to correct you, and you need people to be able to then show that love and that service too. If you're only showing it to yourself, then how is that sacrificial love?
Yeah.
In that type of aspect, you know? So I think that people many times, like, cause I was in that season where I was in college for my first year, and I feel like I did hit that glass ceiling. And it was like, I was reading the word and stuff like that. But when I came to Hope, it challenged me in a whole different way that I would never be able to get outside of church on my own. You know what I'm saying? So.
But I do believe if we're going to study ourselves, right, as humans, the greatest pain we will ever experience is from a relationship. Mm. Okay. However, God created us to be relational.
Yeah.
But the greatest pain we will ever experience is from a relationship. Mm-hmm. Right. So I would say this. 9 times out of 10, all of us have had some type of rift with a family member. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yep.
So because you've had a disagreement with a family member, are you now saying you don't need family?
Guess what?
I've had a lot of disagreements with my siblings, you know, with you guys as my kids, with my spouse. I've never walked away, no matter how angry I am, I've never walked away saying I don't need a family. I don't. So for us to say, hey, you know, we have quote unquote church hurt, and that's why I don't need the body, is just ridiculous. It's really, it doesn't make sense at all. It's just a cop out. Because here's another truth I know. You can get hurt at work. You can get offended. Your boss could embarrass you. Your coworker could lie on you. I guarantee you, you'll show up at 9 a.m. the next day.
Yeah.
That's true.
So what happened with work hurt? You're going to quit your job?
Nah, because I needed to pay my bills. What are you talking about?
But what do you mean? They hurt you.
That money's not hurting me, though.
So I, you know, that's where I kind of get a little bit frustrated, because it's like, so they could hurt you at work. You'll still go back. I mean, I know about work hurt. Like, you know, I had this boss. I literally I cried every day in the car on my way to work. I mean, that's how bad it was. Wow. Guess what? I still went.
Yeah.
It didn't stop me from going. Right. Again, I've had disagreements with my spouse. I've had disagreement with my children. I've had disagreements with my siblings. I've never said, I don't need you guys. I don't need family. But when it comes to God, you stepped on my toe the wrong way. You looked at me cross-eyed. I've been church hurt. I don't need the church. That's a cop-out. You don't want to be held accountable. And you obviously don't want to grow. And the reason I say that is because, you know, accountability has to come along with correction, right? Like the Bible says that the father who loves a child chastises him, right? Mm-hmm. Not because we love punishment, but because we know it's going to produce growth. So I love you enough to correct you in love because I want you to excel and be better.
Yeah.
So for anyone to say, I believe in God, but me and God are tight like this and we're by ourselves and we don't need anybody, it's so far from the truth. You know, you're not deceiving anyone but yourself. And that's the saddest reality. The fact that you're deceiving yourself and don't even see that.
I feel like it's also a pride thing too, because you can't say that and not be bitter at the same time. Like, what do you mean you don't need to be around other believers, around community? It's like, we should have that desire within us to be around other believers, to strengthen us, to sharpen us. So it's like when we take ourselves out of that equation, it's like we're isolating, and not in a good way. Like, we're not bearing fruit in that way, because how can we be corrected on our own? Of course, whatever we do, it's just, we'll be okay with it because nobody's watching us. Nobody's looking at us, like you said. So it's just, I feel like bitterness, fear, not wanting to look in the mirror, like you always tell us.
Yeah. I think that's the greatest thing, though. Like, not looking in the mirror, because I want to look. It's easier for me to look at you and blame you, mm-hmm, than it is for me to say, you know, what part in that did I play?
Yeah.
I think it's also like having an Israelite mindset. Like, at least in Egypt, we know what we got, right? That so part. Like, we stay to like what's comfortable, and what's comfortable is what we know. So as long as at least we know at this time, this is going to happen. At this time, I'll get out of work. At this time, I can go to the gym. At this time, I'm going to have my little devotional. I don't have to sacrifice going to Bible study or going on prayer or coming to church. Why? Because I'm comfortable where I'm at. So at least at this place, at least in this bubble, I know what I'm getting. Now, if I travel outside of the bubble, now I'm paying multiple costs that I don't even know if I want to pay. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, I think people are lazy when it comes to that aspect because the unknown and any uncharted territory, I think people get like afraid to step out because like either whether it be church hurt or relationally hurt or whatever it may be, they're like, I don't know if I could trust again. I don't know if I can confide in people again because the last friend I had stabbed me in the back. So like what makes the church different? You know what I mean? So like, and I think also like those people like kind of trying to look for a perfect church.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the moment definitely. You stepped in that church, it became imperfect.
Right.
So like you're never going to find a perfect church. Every church is going to have its own problems. Every church is going to do you wrong in some way, shape or form, or may not communicate very well as this church. It's what works for you. And, you know, what church house is fitted for you? Because I think we were having a discussion yesterday, like not every house is for everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like not every house is for everybody. So like we got different parts of the body and different parts of the body need different things.
They function differently.
They function differently. So like you need to find that house where you feel like you belong and you know what? You can thrive there. But it takes a community. I think you said it before, like there's community in the very beginning. So like, what if there was community in the beginning, if there was a team in the beginning, what makes you think you don't need one?
Well, here's the other thing. I think, you know, you guys give me your insight on this. I think another reason people find it easy to say they don't need the church, they have a personal relationship with Christ, is because being part of the church, being part of the body, requires commitment.
That's a hefty word. That's a hefty word.
Yeah.
Yes. You see? And commitment looks different, and commitment comes at a cost.
Yeah.
So when I'm not willing to pay that price, guess what? I'm going to walk this walk on my own because I don't have to commit to anything. Mm-hmm. Going back to what I said in the beginning, if I wake up today in a different headspace, nobody's holding me accountable and I'm not committed to doing or needing to do anything. You know, so if nobody's holding me accountable and I'm not committed, again, there's nothing there to bind me. There's nothing there that, you know, I have to pay a price for. So in being part of the body, because you function, each member of the body has to commit, right? We commit to God first, right? God the Father. But then we commit to the body because if we're in the body, we have to function. My hands, I can't say I don't need the pinky. Oh, that's okay. I got four other fingers. I don't need you. I don't need you.
Yeah.
I do need it. In order to function properly, that's the word, properly, I need my pinky to function. So it's not a matter of, you know, whether you're behind the scenes or in front of the scenes or on the platform, in front of the media or behind the scenes, behind the media. You matter. Every part of the body matters. Right now, just because you can't see my heart doesn't mean that it's not functioning. Yeah. The reality is, while my heart is not visible, it's working. You know why? Because I have life. Had it not been working, I don't have life. So if we're that type of person that says, I need to be in the limelight, we're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Right? We're in a lot of trouble. But I think it's easier for us to say, I'll walk this walk on myself, because nobody is holding you accountable and you don't need to commit to nothing or no one.
Yeah. Another thing I would say as well, that's very good, Pastor. Pastor Jay, you were saying that the other day you said that, you know, service is always inconvenient. You know what I'm saying? Service is always inconvenient. So, of course, people will always want to revert back to, you know, being alone. Because when you're alone and you don't have a church body, you don't got to give your tithes. Or necessarily, you know what I mean? Like, you know, or your portion of the Lord, or you don't have to give offering, right? Yeah. So you're keeping that money to yourself. You don't have to worry about spending time praying for others, right? Because when you're in the body, now your family grows.
Yeah.
So it's not just praying for your immediate family. You're praying for your pastors. You're praying for your leaders. You're praying for other people in the church that you know are going through. That's more time away from what you want to do, praying, right? And then also just uplifting one another or coming to the needs of others, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we always talk about how, you know, we're here for one another, right? If you were ever in a financial debacle and you needed bread, right? Or vice versa, I know that I could always count on you.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
1,000%.
So it's like when you get in a church body, there's your heart posture has to change. You go from being selfish to becoming selfless.
Yeah.
And I think good. That's what people, especially in society, we live in a selfish society where it's always, I need to look out for me first. I need to make sure I got me. Yeah. Instead of thinking about, okay, how can I uplift someone else? All right. Even something one of my friends said is like, you know, even in a season when I had no money, how can I show up for my wife in a way that it's like, okay, how can I help her and ease her burdens?
Yeah.
And if I don't have money, how can I still pray for my friends? How can I still give them wisdom and the knowledge that I've learned and the experiences I've gone through to help them? Yeah. You know what I mean? No, so it's like, I feel like that's another thing. We want to play self-protection mode and just leave everybody out and just say, I'm going to worry about me.
Yeah. And I like that you said that, because I was going to say that next, like, when you decide that you don't want to join the community, you're being selfish.
Come on, bro.
You're being extremely selfish. Because why? Because you could be an answer to somebody else's problem. Come right? On. That's the definition of purpose, correct?
Right.
So like now your why is supposed to be bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. The moment your why stays minute to you, at that point, like there's no point in living. It's like you said before, there's no point in committing to anything because I can quit whenever I want. But guess what? I'm fine with that because it's on me. It doesn't matter. But when your why is bigger, when you understand your why is not for you, like it's connected to other people, you have no choice but to think differently.
Yeah.
Like you have to wonder, like, how can I pray for David? How can I pray for Steph? How can I pray for Pastor Liz? Like, what is on their heart? Because like in God's kingdom, it's more about serving others than it is yourself.
Come on.
Right. Like,
Christ came not to be served, but to serve.
Come on,
right. Bro. So like at that token, like you are being a selfish individual.
Yeah.
Because you can, and I tell y'all this all the time, it's like this life is never about you. It's always about the next man.
Yes.
Right. So if you think it's always about you, you'll never learn anything. It's like the Israelites being in the wilderness when they were promised the promised land,
mm-hmm.
but they couldn't learn. So it's just like, all right, cool. Well, are you going to stay there? Or are you going to pay the cost of growth? When you're saying I want to be selfish, you're also saying I don't want to grow.
Yeah.
Like, why do I need to grow? Like, but I think in most leadership books, they say, if you decide to stop growing, you should just die. Because at that point, you have nothing to give anybody. So you just, I hate to say this, and not that you are, but you're a waste. Like, you have nothing to give me, and I have nothing to give you. Like, I think people need to understand they have to bring something to the table.
Yeah.
And it's not always, like, in your workspace. Sometimes it's in relationships and friendships, right? Like, most friendships are built off that. Like, I can say you're my friend, yeah. right? But you understand that we can break bread with one another and I can help you and you can help me.
Yeah.
Right. But what builds that friendship, what builds that bond is the fact that I'm committed to that. Like, you know, for just like you were saying, like, if you needed bread, I would give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
100%. No hesitation. I wouldn't even ask for the money back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, don't worry about it. You're good.
Yeah.
Vice versa. Now, if I come to you like, oh, I need money, give it to me. Like, we have no relationship.
Yeah.
I just want the bread just because I want the bread. Like, no.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Like, who are you?
Hey, who are you? Like, I don't know you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, you have to, like, stop being selfish.
Yeah.
You have to get out of your own way. Because even, like, if we hit the topic of leadership, that's another thing, too. Like, everybody's a leader, right? Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. But guess what? If you don't think you're a leader, you actually are, because you lead your life.
Yeah.
You get to decide whether you want to eat. You get to decide what job you want to go to, whether you want to go to the gym, whether you don't, right? So, like, a leader's job is to serve others. Mm. That's the sole purpose of a leader, to serve others, to empower others. When you decide to be selfish, you're like, nah, I'm good. I have, matter of fact, bump all of y'all. You're really not my friend. I really don't care about you. You could do whatever you want. I'm good on my side.
Yeah.
I think that's like the worst part of it, is selfishness.
And if we know about the church, anything about the church, even if you know, whether you've been in a church for 6 months or you've been there for 30 years, right? We know that the church is the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Even speaking about our own bodies, you can't pick and choose what part of your body is going to function. Either you all function so you can live, and whatever part of your body decides it's going to stop working, you are going to have some type of sickness. You're going to have some type of deficiency because part of your body is not working. So Hebrews 10:25 says it like this. and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. How could you encourage somebody that's not present?
Come on.
That's good.
Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And we know that if we are the body of Christ, we are waiting for the return of Christ. But it says specifically, make sure you don't do like others do, neglect meeting together, but it's imperative that you encourage one another. What does that say? I'm guaranteeing you, Steph, that you're going to have days that you're down.
Yeah.
But I, because I'm part of the body, I should have the ability to bring you back up.
Yeah.
There are days that I'm going to feel down. But because I'm part of the body, don't you know that when the body's sick, all of your cells run to that point of the body?
Yes, yes.
To reinforce, to reinstate, right? To bring healing to that part of the body. How are you going to bring healing when you're not connected? Mm. When you're not connected. So, you know, I don't understand the train of thought of, you know, I don't need the body. How could you not need the body? I mean, have you ever been able to focus or work or do anything without the body?
No.
I mean,
think about Bam's teaching. Bam's teaching, he had four main points, like, because he was talking about the foundational things, right? And the two are like the two like highest commandments, you know, love God with all your heart and then love your neighbor like you love yourself. Well, one, you can't do none of that. You can't do none of that. You're shot. And then the other two he added was unwavering faith and your heart posture, right? So, like, you have to, like, if we're going, like, based on those fundamentals, like, you really have to check all those things. Like, wow. Do I really love God like I say I do? Because God is a relational.
Yes, so, like, he made us relational.
Exactly. So, like, what you're saying by saying I don't need a body is I don't want a relationship. That's one. Two, how are you supposed to love on others, like you said, if you're not present?
Yeah.
You're by yourself. Like, you don't need a body. So, like, okay, cool. Where's your heart posture at? Like, where is it? Because it seems very hard to me. Like, if you get bitter, and at that point, like, not only is it hard and bitter, but you're giving room for the enemy to creep in.
Right.
Yeah. Like, because I'm all by myself. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're in a community, and I think I said this once before, when you're in community, you're strong. When it's 1v1 versus the devil, how strong are you? Like, really, like, how strong are you? Right? But guess what? You get strength from being in community. So that way, when you are by yourself, you could be strong by yourself. Why? Because I have people encouraging you. And then unwavering faith, your faith can waver at any moment now.
Yeah.
Because you have nobody encouraging you when you feel down. I don't wake up every morning like, oh my gosh, life is great.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't wait to go to work. I can't wait to deal with customers who are going to yell at me. I can't wait. You know, like, I got bit today at work. It was great. It was phenomenal. Like, no, like, that's not, you don't wake up like that. Sometimes, like, you hate life sometimes. If we're going to be real, sometimes, like, I wake up I'm like, yo, like, my wife can tell you, like, I get up at 6 a.m. and like, I'll hear my alarm. I'm like, All right. Like, damn, I gotta go to this job now. Like, I just want to stay home. But by the time I get to the work, I'm like, I'm good. You know what I mean? But you have to, like, really question yourself in all those areas. And if you can't correct yourself in those areas, then what's the point of having a relationship with Christ?
Well, here's another point too. So we're saying all of this to say, it doesn't mean that because we're saying that we must be connected, because that's what we're saying, right? That we must be connected to the body. It doesn't mean that things are going to go easy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that it's going to be a smooth ride. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be great, but it does mean that it's necessary. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when there's medicine that we don't like to take, we don't like it. It doesn't taste good, but it's necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some shots we need to take. We don't like them, but they're necessary.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I get it. You know, sometimes it's hard to stay connected, but it's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's worth staying connected because everything good, you know, comes at a cost. That's what I'm saying. See, that's why, you know, even when they say, well, you know, salvation is free. Okay, you didn't pay for salvation, but Jesus paid the price. So salvation is really not free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody else just paid it for you.
Yeah, it's free for you because someone else paid it for you. But the reality is somebody paid the price. So the least thing you can do, like I always taught my kids, show up and be grateful. Mm. Show up and that's be true, grateful. And my kids knew, you know, growing up, sometimes it was hard and we didn't have it. But I told them straight out, on family night, on Friday nights, whether if we had it, awesome. We went out, we ate, we did whatever. The nights we didn't have it, we went to Blockbuster. You don't know nothing about Blockbuster.
I do, actually.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Oh, Blockbuster, yeah. Blockbuster was essential.
Yo.
Okay, so when the nights we didn't have money, you know, we went to Blockbuster. We rented that one movie.
Hollywood Video.
Hollywood Video, right.
Yeah, I'm dating myself, yo. I would always get a video game all the time, bro.
So, you know.
Swindle that joint.
The times that we didn't have it, we still have family night. So what am I saying? Family night wasn't always easy.
Yeah.
There was a price to pay, but you know what? In all seasons, we learn how to be content.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
We learn how to be content. So I get it. I get it. Some people are going to step on your toes. Some people, and here's the problem. A lot of times when we talk about church hurt is because we walk into the temple. Do me a favor. Stop walking in with such expectation about other people.
Come on.
See what I'm saying?
Yep.
You could have the greatest expectation when you walk into that building, have the greatest expectation on God. But when you put that expectation on people,
yeah,
people will fail you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I could put, you know, as a pastor, I put my expectation on my team. But I have to brace myself because there's times that people are not going to come through the way you expect them to come through.
Yeah.
Now, do I want to disconnect because you didn't show up on a Sunday for worship? Do I want to disconnect because you didn't show up on a Sunday
to
be with pastor? So there's things that are not always going to be easy. And there might be times that you don't agree with the way things are done. But at the end of the day, we still need each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And to even like further drive that point home, like I got to commend these two, right? Amongst other young adults, our young adults group is growing, but I know Steph has invited the whole congregate of the gym, right? Right. Yeah. Steve.
And she's produced fruit.
Yeah, Steve.
She's produced fruit.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then he's invited Nick the barber coming through, Bam coming through. But like, if he decided to be selfish, they both decided to be selfish. You can't being selfish. You can't win souls for the kingdom. You can't. It's just impossible because you're not thinking about others. You're thinking about yourself. Now, have they taken that approach? Maybe the young adults don't get bigger. There's a lot of people that, you know, because of their fruit are coming, but that's because they decided to say, you know what, this is bigger than me. So I have the truth. I want to share with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And another thing is, like, I genuinely believe that there's no better feeling. Like, I think someone said it like this, like winning alone feels good, but when you win with a team and especially people who you love, it feels like 10 times better. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Because you go through, as you were saying, Pastor, those times where it is hard, you know? So when you go through those hard times with your family, when you do reach your times of prosperity, you're able to enjoy it together at a different level because you know what it is to cry. So now you're able to rejoice at a greater magnitude. And I think it's the same thing with, I would say, with church, with a team, with the relationship, with a friend group. Whenever you guys go through trials and tribulations together and stick together and grow closer to God and closer to one another together, when you do reach the other side of that, the strength of the bond is so much greater.
Oh, yeah,
and so that's something that I believe is really essential as well for a house. When you guys are all sticking together through your suffering together and you're doing well together, you know what I'm saying? It builds those type of bonds that are lifelong bonds. Like Hope, I genuinely feel like is my family. Like
me too, bro.
Like on a weird level, blood family. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Wait,
like exactly. Like
I need my friends. It's family.
Exactly.
Yo,
like it's family. You know, and I'm saying, you know what I'm saying. So it's like when you see other people succeed, and especially when we begin seeing success, you know, as a family, it's like the effect is just at a greater level than if it's just selfish. You know what I'm saying? If
1,000%.
It's just, oh yeah, I'm eating at my own table by myself. You know, that's what society tries to push.
Yeah.
But the kingdom is all about other people. You know what I mean? So that's what I love.
And even today, I wanted to share this because I think it's so true. So I went to ShopRite and I was having like, you know, they were giving me a hard time about something. And I went up to the customer service and, you know, I'm going back and forth with two different individuals and, you know, and here's the thing. So even though they gave me a hard time and I got frustrated for a minute, right? The reality is, no matter how frustrated I get or how angry or how upset I get, the fact is ShopRite has things that I need. Mm. So watch. It's not going to stop me from going back.
That's true.
Yeah.
I had a disagreement. I mean, thankfully at the end, it worked itself out. And I received God's favor. But even if I hadn't received God's favor, how many times do you go somewhere and somebody messes up your order, or, you know, they don't have what you need, or you're upset because it's overpriced or whatever Chipotle. Have you, right? Yep. Right? Chipotle, they're for everybody trying to scam you.
Hit and miss every time.
Come on.
Right? But the truth is, you're going to continue to go back to that store, even though you had a bad experience. Why? Mm. Because they have something you need.
Yes,
that's true.
The house of God, the body of Christ, is supposed to be that. There's something that you need. Don't let, like what you said before, don't let pride stop you from eating.
That's good.
Because, yeah, I'm not going to eat. Like when we were little, right? We punish our parents. I'm not eating. That don't last long. Because, you know, we think we're punishing them. But, you know, little by little, when your stomach starts like really squeezing, you're like, you know what? Maybe I was mad for no reason. Maybe I should just rethink this.
I
don't know about y'all.
I used to pack a bag, but I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Yeah. Used to talk behind my closed door. Like, yeah, I can't believe she did that to me. What? I wish she would.
Right. Right. He went right around the corner, came right back.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
You're like, oh,
exactly.
It's good here.
So the same way we do that with our experiences, no matter where, whether it's at the mall, whether it's at Walmart, ShopRite, you know, wherever it is, we go back because those places essentially have something that we need. Mm-hmm. So the house of God is no different. The church is no different. The body is no different. We need to go back, whether somebody offended us or looked at us wrong or misunderstood us or lied on us, whatever, right? We need to go back because essentially, yes, I'm not denying that you were hurt. But what I'm saying is that what you continue to need to live is there.
Yeah.
So why would you spite yourself?
Yeah.
To try to hurt somebody else while they're still living their best life? Yeah. Right? Because... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And I feel like another aspect too is that intimidation of feeling like you have to be a certain level of perfect before you go back.
Yeah.
And how you're, and it's like there's no level of perfection that we're ever going to reach, but it's about being in that community, being in the presence, like everything that you want to be perfect on, gradually, God's just going to do it through you. There's nothing you can do that's just going to boom all at once. All right, I'm perfect now. Great. Now I can go back to church. There's nothing that's going to like, actually take place for you to get there, except for continuing to serve, continuing to know where your gifts are, continuing to be connected to others, seeing the way that others, if I know somebody else prays well, wow, I want to pray like that. Like you always tell us, how do you pray like that? Based on what you've been through, I want to worship like that. Okay. Do you worship when you're non-church? So it's like knowing that as you're in that community, you're going to grow. You kind of have, I don't want to say you don't have a choice to grow because you definitely have a choice, but it's like, you can't be around other people who are just blossoming and not attract you
and affect you. And like, let's go based off that point. I think John Maxwell says, and Dad told me like this too, is like, if I want to be a level 2 person, I need to hang out with level 2 people. If I want to be a level 5 person, I need to hang out with level 5 people. If I'm level 2.
Minimum. Because you should always try to hang out with something greater.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because we're achieving to do greater.
Absolutely. Yeah. But in order to do that, I need to be around people who are right. better than me.
That point.
If you can't get better if you're not around better.
Right.
You want to be boo-boo at home. That's up to y'all. I mean.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, I get it. There's a lot of things that happen that shouldn't happen. I get it, you know. There's comments that are made that should not be made. We're not trying to lie. We're not trying to sugarcoat this and be like church is perfect. Absolutely not. You know, I get it. People say things and do things that they shouldn't do. They live double lives. But here's the point. We're people, yeah. Right? And not excusing that behavior. But what I'm saying is that that same behavior is also found at work. It's also found at home. It's also found in your relationship. It's also found at the store. You know, there is no avoiding that. So for us to let the enemy deceive us into thinking that only happens at church.
We should probably stop saying, we get it. Nah, bump that. I don't get it. I really don't. Because it's just like you said, right? Like, if you get hurt at work, you still going. If you get hurt at the store, you still going. Like, what is there to get? Now, I could level with you, but at a certain token, it's just like, I'm kind of just tired of people just saying like, well, this person looked at me the wrong way in church. And so guess what? I'm not going to church ever again. Like, what are we doing?
Did I ever tell you that story? I had somebody literally want to punch me in my face because in the church, because I didn't greet them.
Wow. That's crazy. But it's funny. It's like so weird because like now you're saying like, okay, well, I don't want to go to church because they look at me sideways, but you're not punishing that individual. You're actually saying, God, I don't need you. I'm good. Keep your pleasantries. All because another individual hurt you. Not God, but another individual. So God takes the punishment for it. Like, at what point does that make sense?
I think it's just we allow the enemy to deceive us into thinking that it's this place, which in reality, it has nothing to do with the place. Because again, that same incident can happen anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah.
And there's no way. I went through it. When I tell you, I literally cried driving into work every day. I cried. It didn't stop me because guess what? That building had something that I needed.
That's it.
And I remember a while back you had taught me what you don't deal with in one place will follow you until you do.
Oh, so true.
That's good.
God is very persistent. Like you didn't learn this time? All right, let's go back again.
Until you learn, like, just circling that wilderness.
Remember when I told you guys in young adults, I was like, God said he was not playing with me.
Oh,
he
meant business.
But isn't it true though?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that your experience?
I'm playing with you, yo. Imagine God tell you that, just pull you over, like, yo, dog, I'm not playing with you.
Yeah, I'm cool.
I'd be so afraid, like, what happened?
No, I learned that from my pastor because, you know, there were seasons in my life where things kept on, like, I was like, this is deja vu. Like, I've been through this again. You know, I'm going through. He said, Lisette, you need to stop and ask God, what is it that I'm not learning? Wow. Because when you don't learn a certain point that God is trying to bring across, he will allow you to continue to go around that mountain until you're like, oh, I didn't see this same apple tree that I passed by the last 10 times.
Yeah.
But you know, but now I see that there's an apple tree. Oh, I see the apple. I see the apple. You know what I'm saying? So it's just that. And you're right. God would allow you to continue to go through the same situation. So stop running away from church hurt. Stop running away from accountability. Stop running away from commitment. Because, you know, in order for you to have that walk with God, you know, you have to commit. You have to be accountable. You have to be connected. You cannot say you have a relationship with God and you're separated. Because anything separated from the vine dies. Why? Because there is nothing flowing to it. The only thing that keeps us alive is the connection, right? Okay. Everything that's connected in my body is alive. Why? Because it's connected. The minute I cut something off, it stops. It's dead.
Yeah.
It
stops functioning.
Can't bear
so,
fruit.
You know, in order for you to have a true relationship with Christ, I'm not talking about, because somebody wrote a post the other day too, which is so true. The devil also is a believer.
Yeah.
He knows the word. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between him and you?
Yeah. He just believes it more than most people do.
Right. So you can't say, oh,
this is a wild take if you think about it.
Wow. The enemy knows the word too.
Another thing that is just so sad is it just goes back to that glass ceiling when you're by yourself is, I think you were talking about it before, but like when you're surrounded by people who are on fire, right? They motivate you to want to be better. Right. Mm-hmm. But not only that, sometimes our vision is off. So sometimes we're filled with inadequacy.
Yeah.
And so other people can be able to look at you and say, dude, you're built for this. You have this quality, that quality, that you're overqualified. God has qualified you to step into this role. God has qualified you to be this and be that. You know how we always at young adults, we calling people pastors, bishops, deacons, this and that.
Speaking it into existence.
We're speaking it into existence. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, we are able to see, you have vision. So what happens when you have every gift inside of you that you need to be who God has called you to be, but you don't see it in yourself? How is it going to be pulled out of you if you're not in a community that is willing to pull it out? So that's one thing that I've shared with people as well from my journey is when I was on my solo walk from my freshman year of college, because I didn't have a church home. It was decent, but that should only be a season, if anything. You know what I'm saying? That shouldn't be your walk.
Yeah, you know.
You should be looking for a house. And when you find a house that is spirit-led and the Spirit is leading you to, you should stay there, especially when they're causing you to grow. And that's something about hope. Hope pulled out of me so many things that I didn't know was within. And I think that is another reason why we need to be a part of community. And again, it's not just a selfish thing, because many times it's just, oh God, I want my blessing and show me my gifts so I can prosper. But no, you know, your gifts are also for other people. It's always for someone else, right? So when I'm a part of a community, I'm not just being fed off of what God is doing through me, but I'm being fed off of what God is doing through everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So the community is definitely essential and it's needed. And it's just it's frustrating and it's sad that so many people are still doing the solo thing.
Yeah.
Because like you said, how many people are suffering because you didn't show up where you were supposed to be?
Well, here's the thing, piggybacking off what you just said, right? Do you realize that no tree ever eats its own fruit?
No.
Every tree that bears fruit is for the people that walk by. It's never for the tree itself.
That's good. That's good. I don't even think about it like that.
No tree.
That's so simple too.
Nah, literally, like that's
no crazy. Tree ever eats its own fruit.
That's why Eve ate it.
So you bear fruit, but the fruit is always for those that pass by.
Wow. That's
crazy. So if you're not in the garden, who's eating your fruit?
Oh my goodness.
That's good, yo.
It's just deteriorating.
Make sure you make that a YouTube clip right there. Right there.
If you're not in the garden,
wow,
and you're off on your own, who's eating your fruit? Chances are no one's eating your fruit. Your fruit is falling to the ground and is becoming waste. Oh, because nobody is in the community to be able to take the fruit from the tree that you're bearing. So, you know, the fruit that you bear is not for you. It's for those that are walking by. So for you to say that you don't need to be in part of the community, what you're saying is, I don't care if they starve. Wow. They're not going to get my fruit. So what you're saying is, I'm okay with being selfish.
Yeah.
What you're saying is, I'm okay with wasting what I was built to produce.
Wow.
That's good.
Us realizing the fruit that we possess and the blessing that we are to others ought to make us want to be connected to something.
Yeah.
Because chances are the prayers that we're making, the answers are found in somebody else's fruit.
That's good.
That part. Yep.
That's good.
Yep.
Right? And chances are, you know, the same way you're waiting on a response, they're waiting on a response. What if you're the response they're waiting for and they're the response you're waiting for?
Mm. That's good. That's good. The Father looked at the Son looked at the Holy Spirit and said, let us make man in our own image.
Let us.
So if there was community in the beginning, they had community, the divinity right there, then what makes you think you don't? Get attached to the community, people. Come on, man. So with that being said, I hope this blessed you. I hope you digest all the gems, especially from these three. Okay. But do me a favor, hit that like button, subscribe, hit that notification button, and share this with your family members. Share this with your coworkers. Share this with everybody. If you've been blessed by it, it's your job to share the truth with others. Amen.